Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Please sign up for my newsletter at zibbyowens.com for weekly updates about my podcasts, events, and more. Also, follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and also at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. And finally, join my virtual book club called Zibby's Virtual Book Club, which meets every other Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time until 3 p.m. and features half an hour of book club discussion followed by 30 minutes of Q&A with the author whose book we've just discussed. You can sign up on my website, zibbyowens.com, under the virtual book club section, or even on Instagram under the link in my bio. I hope you'll find me in all these different channels and enjoy this podcast. Today's episode has been sponsored by Faherty. Faherty is basically my favorite clothing store that exists. I thought I was finding this undiscovered gem in a tiny little mall in California and Palisades Village. Anyway, I went into Faherty one day and like freaked out, and I've been following them ever since. I love their clothes, and so does my husband Kyle. And you can enter code Zibby, Z-I-B-B-Y, and get 25% off on their website, faherty brand.com, F-A-H-E-R-T-Y-B-R-A-N-D.com. I kind of hate to tell you all about Faherty because I kind of liked being in the know and like having my own secret stash of clothes, but it's amazing and you will love them, especially their new cozy fall sweaters, which I've been wearing on Instagram, and their pants, which have like the maternity band type thing up top and fit everybody. Their shirt dresses, their shirt/jackets for guys. Anyway, they're amazing. Enter code Zibby, get 25% off. I have done this now a couple times and really have to stop. So anyway, please order.
Cecily von Zygesar is the number one New York Times bestselling author of the Gossip Girl novels, which inspired the hit television series of the same name. Her latest book is called Cobble Hill. She lives in Brooklyn, New York with her family.
Welcome, Cecily. Thanks so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
See, that was so easy. I just asked a question. I said something, you said something back, right?
No, I can do this.
First of all, Cobble Hill is so great. And I was so excited to see that you had come out with a new book, and it did not disappoint in the slightest. And I love your characters and your sense of humor and the whole thing. And I just had to say that from the outset that I thoroughly enjoyed it and needed like a fun escape that pokes fun at basically everybody. And that was awesome. So thank you.
Thank you. It was really nice to hear. I'm at that kind of like tender stage where I'm terrified about what people are going to think of the book, because it's just, you know, people are just reading it now. And so it's always nice to hear good things.
Thumbs up. So I know, obviously, you've written the Gossip Girl series, and that was like, you know, smash hit, blah, 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 TV show, fame, whatever. Now, how do you go from that and write another book? And tell me how you came up with the idea for Cobble Hill. And we'll go from there.
Well, it's been a long time. The first Gossip Girl book came out in 2002. And it's been a while. But I mean, there are also many of them. And as you said, a TV show. And I have actually written a couple of books in between that weren't really like widely read. But I kept also getting distracted and pulled away from this idea by other things. Also, my kids. The same, actually, 2002 was when the first Gossip Girl book came out, but also when my first child was born. So she's starting at college now. So it's, there you go. There's a good marker. But so Cobble Hill, actually, is the sort of germ of the idea, came about in a conversation, or many conversations, paranoid conversations that I had with my kid's elementary school nurse. And after reading the book, you'll discover that there is very definitely a school nurse in the book. And she would send out these lice letters. and I would just completely freak out. The minute I got the lice letter in my kid's backpack or whatever, I'd just be like, they're all over me. I have like, they're like in the walls. They're everywhere. And so like I would go, and she was this really nice, just lovely person. And I would just go into her office and start out talking about lace, and then we wound up just like chatting about other stuff. And so I knew I wanted to write a book set in this neighborhood, the neighborhood that I live in, but I was like, when in talking to her, I was like, I have to have I have to, you know, have lice in my book. it was just so ridiculous the way, I mean, it's even more ridiculous now if only lice were our problem, the only epidemic we were worrying about. But so it sort of started with that. And then I very definitely extrapolated, you know, wildly from there. I think another character in the book is a writer. And the longer that I worked on this, I mean, I think I've been working on this book on and off for more than 5 years, which is a really long time for me. The Gossip Girl books, I wrote, you know, 2 a year. So the more I sort of worked on it and it moved away from kind of like the original just moms in the schoolyard type of book, it became about writing itself too, you know, and trying to like sort of make fun of myself, like with all the agonizing that I was doing.
When I was reading it, you had this one scene where, is his name Ray?
Roy,
sorry. So he's like walking around and you're like charting the streets and like, should I go to this bar? Should I go to this place? Should I go here? Should I go there? And I'm like, was she actually doing this? Like maybe that was her morning and this was the walk she took and then she sat down and then just wrote that out.
Actually, no, I did try. I've always like tried to find other places to write other than home. And actually right now I'm in my daughter's, who went to college, is her bedroom, because I don't have an office in our apartment. And so I don't know how happy she is about this, but her room is now my office.
Is she finding this out right now on this podcast?
No, the way she found out was she didn't have a desk in her room at all. Like, I don't even know how she got through high school without having a desk, but she just had this big fuzzy pillow on the floor, you know, like, and she would sit on the pillow and, you know, put her laptop in her lap. And so, like the first week that she was at college, I took a picture of the fuzzy pillow, which it looks like a dog pillow and it's really gross net by now, out on the sidewalk, like for the, you know, garbage takeaway. And I was like, say bye-bye to your fuzzy
pillow. Oh no.
But I don't think she's too sad. She doesn't mind. But so anyway, I was throughout my sort of writing life, I've been wondering, you know, like, okay, there are people who like work in the park or there are people who work in coffee shops. And so I would try to, you know, I'd go to a coffee place and like bring my laptop fully intending to get something done. And I don't know how people do that. All I do is eavesdrop on other people. I don't get anything done. Like, it's impossible for me to do that. So part of Roy's kind of, you know, journey. And also, it's also just procrastination, right? I mean, he's like, maybe I'll try this. Maybe I'll go here. And like, in the meantime, he's not writing. he's just walking around. So, but I tell everyone, like, you know, even when you're not writing, you're writing, right? Because it's in your head. And actually, the more, that is actually very true for me. The more, once I sort of get going, I feel like I am kind of carrying the whole book in my head and the characters are having conversations. Now I sound like,
I'm hearing all these voices in my head. Turns out I'm a novelist.
But I mean, it is actually true that, and maybe you do have to be a little crazy to do that, but once they kind of become fully formed characters, they are talking in your head, or in my head anyway.
And I loved Peaches, the nurse character, and how when she got to go through, why am I blanking on everybody's name in this book, but the musician's hair when he came to sit down and someone little, and she was like, thank you, God, thank you, Mom, thank you, everybody who didn't let me drop out of nursing school for this moment right here. It was all worth it. I just love that.
Yeah. I mean, she's a terrible flirt, I guess, but, that's sort of part of what I try to do with my writing. And I think I did that in Gossip Girl too. You're kind of hearing every thought that every character has, like, is that sort of like off camera thing. And it sort of adds another dimension to them, but you're also seeing how the person they're talking to is seeing them. And, you know, it all gets very complicated, but I think part of what I sort of learned that I like to do in writing Gossip Girl was having that, the idea of that sort of perfect, you know, looking person. And then you see how flawed they really are and insecure. So I had a lot of fun with that in Cobble Hill too. I mean, I think hopefully it's amusing to hear how insecure these, oh, I don't know. I think a lot of it was also me, you know, wandering around my neighborhood and wondering what all these people are really doing. Like when they go home, these people who don't seem to have normal 9-to-5 jobs like me and who might be sitting on a park bench at 11 o'clock in the morning with their laptop or, you know, getting a coffee or just like walking around. And, you know, I think I became fascinated with like what those people really are doing and what their lives were like.
I mean, I feel like it's human nature, perhaps maybe more novelist nature, but to wonder like what everybody's thinking and doing and like, what is everybody doing at it? I remember working when I actually had like a 9-to-5 job in marketing before I went to business school. And one day I got the day off and I like remember going to the Reservoir and thinking that was like, oh, this is like the height of luxury that I can go running in the middle of the day. And I was like, who are all these people? How is everybody else out and about? Like, what are they all doing? How are they all here? And your bugs like are the backstory that everybody is really wondering, you know? And you even have your like Anna Wintour-ish character who's, you know, pretending like she's so busy at work and doing absolutely nothing. And I don't know, you just have like so many funny characters in different ways. And it's just great. You poke fun at everybody from like the Latin teacher to the, it's just awesome. It's just like, why not make fun of everybody in a nice, funny, literary way? That's really what you do.
Yeah, I hope I'm not. It's funny because the teenagers, there are two sort of main teenage characters as well. And I think they're like the more serious characters in a way. And like, and that was sort of something that I maybe have discovered in my middle age, that it's like, just because you're a grown-up doesn't mean you act like one, you know, and sometimes the teenagers are a little bit more responsible. I mean, they're actually, I have so much sympathy for like my kids. I'm like still in my bathrobe with my cup of coffee and it's like 7 o'clock in the morning and they're like completely dressed. My, you know, daughter's eyelashes would be curled and all this, you know, and they're like facing the day and doing so much. And I'm like, bye. You know, like I'm just going to go write a book like in my bathrobe. I mean, so a lot of it came out of that, just realizing like how much shit they have going on in their lives. And also that there's so much that you deal with in high school that if you're kind of in your like little neighborhood adult bubble, you know, you don't necessarily have to deal with that at all, you know? So there's a lot of that in the book too, just this almost like that the teenagers are dealing with like what's happening in the world, like the world around them more than the adults are.
So essentially did you ever actually debate faking MS yourself so that you could stay in bed all day?
Oh my God. Mandy is actually like, oh, I think one of my favorite characters because it's funny. At first I was worried, like, are people just going to hate her because she's, you know, so indulgent and she's just like staying in bed all day. And then, but then I became so envious of her. Like, what if, like, why not? Like, what? Why not just take a little time and stay in bed? And I feel like it's sort of a brave thing to do somehow. And she doesn't, like, she gets through it. Like, she actually sort of grows throughout the story and, like, she's kind of moving on, but it was just something she needed to do. But I have a couple friends who have MS and, like, I don't know, when they were just talking about their symptoms, this is so twisted of me. I was like, this is the perfect disease to fake, you know? Just be like, yeah, I think I just need to like take it easy right now. So this is just the way my completely crazy brain works. But like, I sort of had this idea while talking to my friend from college who has MS and just kind of went with it. But it also, it seems like she, I don't know. I guess I can ask you, when you read about it, were you like, oh God, she's so lazy? Or were you sort of like, that takes, you know, a certain degree of courage to just be like, I'm staying in bed?
Well, Well, at first I was like, oh, I wonder what's wrong with her. Is she depressed or what's going on? And then first you hear about it from her husband. So then I like felt sorry, right? Then I was like, oh no, this poor woman. And then you find out that actually she's faking it. And I was like, I cannot believe that she's faking it. Like, I just couldn't.
I feel like, are we like, spoiler alert? Like, I don't know. Are you, oh no. You know the whole time she's faking it. I love the, how I wrote the book and I can't remember.
I feel like that was all very early. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Did I ruin it? I could take that. I mean, it's all very early in the book. I don't know.
You see her process of like Googling what the symptoms are. And,
yeah. I wonder if there will be an outbreak of other moms being like, you know what? I don't want to take my kid to school anymore. I'm doing like, I'm just staying in bed. I love you. And you put like the bed in the living room. I feel like actually what it is, it's like every crazy stressed out mother's fantasy is basically what you wrote, because it's like, you know what? I've had enough. Like, that's it. You know what? I'm just not going to do this anymore. Let's see what happens.
Right. Well, no, I mean, also probably like all of her behavior kind of came from that, you know, moment where I'm like saying goodbye to, you know, my family in the morning and it's just like me and the dog. And then I'm like, what if I just like took to my bed, you know, like, and they came home from school and like work or whatever. And I was just like in bed. How crazy would that be?
Yeah.
And so instead of doing it, I wrote it.
There we go. I mean, why not? So, Cecily, how did you get into writing to begin with? Or maybe it's just a natural outgrowth of what goes on in your head. But how did you start the Gossip Girl series? Like, how did that all become? How did you become a published author? How did it begin?
Oh boy. Okay. Well, I mean, going like way back. I mean, I was in high school. Like, English was my favorite class. I had this wonderful teacher who named Christine Scutt, she's actually a published author, but she really encouraged me to begin with when I was a teenager to write outside of class. And so I think in my head, I always had this idea that it was like the only thing that I was really good at. And so in college, I was an English major. I took all the creative writing classes that they offered. I actually did both poetry and fiction. And so for my kind of like senior thesis, I published a collection of short stories and poetry, which is, it's actually funny. Like, I don't really write poems, but then when I'm writing a book, like Dan in Gossip Girl in the books is a poet and he writes poetry. So it's like, it's kind of my... And then Stuart in Cobble Hill is a musician. And I mean, that's not poetry, but I did have fun with his little like one line kind of rhymes. Anyway, I started a master's, an MFA in fiction writing, but I didn't actually finish. Maybe I could go back. I just did a year because I sort of felt like I wanted to be like living in the world and not in school anymore. And my first job was actually in publishing in England, like working for a children's book publisher. My husband is English. We met over here and then I went over there to live with him and got married over there. Hence, Roy is British and in Cobble Hill. And this is how I know so much about English people. Half of my family is English. But so... I was, even while I was living in England in my early 20s at that job, I sort of, it was like this weird, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people have encountered this. Like, I had this kind of editorial assistant job and I didn't really have enough to do. And so I would start writing my own stuff. Like, I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing, but none of that was ever published. It's all on like floppy disk. What do you do with those? And anyway, then we moved to New York and I got a job with a company called 17th Street Productions, which then was acquired by Alloy Entertainment. But they were a very unusual company. It was a book production company, which meant that they sort of came up with ideas for series, mostly young adult series. And the editors were really kind of in charge of like the content and what the series would be. So that was my job. But then they would outsource the writing and like hire writers who didn't get to use their own names. And one of the most well-known series that they had done before I got there was Sweet Valley High. But I was hired to work on a horse series because I grew up riding horses called Thoroughbred, and it was like about horse racing. And there were, it was such a big series. There were, I think we published like one book a month or something. It was crazy. Like I was insanely busy because I had to like come up with the plot lines for the stories. Anyway, I'm going on and on. Like, so the company kind of wanted to develop and produce more kind of authentic fiction. And, you know, they worked with all the big publishing houses. And so one of the series that we came, or one of my colleagues came up with while we were there, was The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. And at the same time, another colleague of mine, after reading a newspaper article about a girl who kind of like exposed everyone in her class, some sort of scandal that through instant messaging, he came up with this title, Gossip Girl. So the title was not mine. And then in the sort of development process, I was assigned this to like, well, you know, come up with like the characters and the, and so I just like went completely crazy. And I was like, I don't want this to be like anything we've ever done before. I don't want it to be like in this weird made up place, like Sweet Valley High. I grew up in Manhattan. It's going to be about Manhattan teenagers. And I came up with a whole cast of characters. I wrote like the sort of introduction and I sent it out to publishers. And this one editor, Cindy Egan at Little Brown, read it and was just like, this is amazing. This sounds exactly like the people that I went to boarding school with. Like, I'm going to come and talk to you about publishing this. And she asked in the meeting, who wrote this proposal? And I was like, I did, you know, I was still like kind of like a junior person there. And she was like, well, you're writing the books. And so our boss was like, well, we don't usually do that. And she was like, no, she's writing the books. And I mean, she was really my champion. And so they gave me a shot at writing the first book and she insisted that it have my name on it. And then, I mean, it's sort of like to make a long story short, by like the time this third book was coming out, it was like on the bestseller list before it even was published because people were like pre-ordering it and I quit my job and was just writing Gossip Girl full time while also like nursing my newborn baby. And it's funny because the other thing that went as Gossip Girl became more and more popular, pretty early on, because I literally gave birth to my daughter and the first book came out at the same time and the second book came out like 6 months later, the publisher, Little Brown, had told people like she can't travel right now because I'd like just given birth. But like somehow, like, I don't know, it like got in this system that like Cecily Bonsagazer doesn't travel. So like years later, people were like, I know you don't travel, but like, I felt like I had this like weird reputation or something. And I was like, what do you mean I don't travel? I'll go anywhere. Like I'm a travel like cult. I love to travel. And it was all just because of the weird timing of that first book that like there was this idea that like, you know, I never travel. But like then the word got out, I was like, I'm going to Brazil. I'll go anywhere. If you want me, I'll go. So yeah, that was.
And then how involved were you then with it being adapted as a TV show?
So that happened, I don't even remember when the show came out, 2007, is that right? Well, I wasn't involved in the writing of the show, but you know, I met with the creators of the show. I had lunch with Stephanie Savage at the restaurant in Barney's, and then we went and I was like, well, you have to, like, she's not a native New Yorker, she's actually Canadian. And we like walked around the reservoir in Central Park, and then we went to my school and we watched the girls coming out of school. And I don't know, I felt like I needed to kind of like take her around the neighborhood where it all kind of happens, just to like be sure that she, I don't know, like, I think I was being a little crazy because then they wound up doing like an incredible job and it was like, you know, way better than I ever could have imagined. But I was so nervous that it was going to be like filmed in LA, you know, like I didn't know at that point. So, and they were also very generous with me. Like I was able to like, you know, go on set whenever at any time. And they asked me to do a little cameo in like one of the later episodes. So I had a line. And that was really fun. So, I mean, the show was really amazing. It was really different from the books. Like, it sort of started out with the first book and then completely, I mean, they had to go beyond the time frame of the books, but it was really amazing.
Wow. Well, I think I watched probably every episode of Gossip Girl over the years. And now my daughter, I have 4 kids and my daughter is 13. She's like, well, my friends are talking about the show. I'm like, I don't know. Do I want you watching it?
It's funny because my daughter's friends, I think she was always a little bit like nervous about it or something, or it was just sort of like in her life, but she didn't, you know, because of that, she didn't really like pay much attention. And then somebody would find out, you know, in like middle school, like sort of 7th, 8th grade, the same age as your daughter. And then, you know, they'd be like, oh my God, tell your mom I want to sign. So she'd end up having to like bring signed copies of the book.
Oh, no.
To school. And sometimes teachers would ask too. Like, so, and then, yeah, it would just get out in school. And she was always kind of like trying to keep it on the low down a little bit. But I think she has pretty much watched all of the episodes of the show. I don't think she's read all the books though. maybe later. It'll be her like escape from schoolwork.
And aside, so I know you worked on Cobble Hill for on and off for 5 years. Do you have another project that you've sort of already been working on or dabbling in that you think might come next, or you're just not sure what's up after this?
Well, I don't want to like get anyone too excited because it's not a done deal and I have no idea. I don't really know what my involvement is going to be, but I'm trying to, just as a almost like an experiment at this stage, to adapt Cobble Hill for television. So it would be really fun. I think it lends itself very much to a TV show, but I wanted to try to take a stab at writing it myself. The problem so far has been that every single thing that you do when you're writing a book is not what you do when you're writing for television. So all that, what I was talking about earlier, all that interior monologue, all that off camera, kind of what she's thinking and what he's thinking when she's talking and all that stuff. You can't do any of that. So it's just dialogue. So I'm finding it very challenging. And I also have this weird impulse to like get up and try to like act it out myself. You know, it's like, or just like the little things like, that you have the sort of stage directions, you know, so that it's not so awkward. Anyway, it's a fun experiment. I don't know if I give it to somebody, if they're just going to be like, yeah, just stick to books. we'll see.
Well, what advice would you have for aspiring authors?
I know this sounds, it's like everyone tells you this, but reading to me is more helpful than anything else. And I read kind of across like all genres. And maybe this is crazy too, but there are even like little like kids books that I love, like picture books. I love the language. I mean, it's funny that the cover of Cobble Hill looks a lot like that Richard Scarry book, What Do People Do All Day or whatever. And there are some lines in that book that I really like, but there's a sort of like cadence to some kids' books that somehow it is sort of like poetry, and it really that kind of just like really reading for the kind of like the music of the sentences to me is really important. And sometimes I'll just pick up a book that I know really well because I've read it a few times and just like read a few lines, and then that gets me like going again. But I'm also just sort of, I'm a book nerd, yeah. So, and I also, I am guilty of the fact that I'm always reading like 5 different books at the same time. I don't know. Do you do that? Like,
yes,
I
100% do that.
It's also like, I feel like if the authors knew that I was doing that, they'd be like, what are you doing? You're not like just reading my book. But yeah, reading really, I mean, and sometimes it'll just be like a magazine or something like, but just to get kind of like, I don't know, warmed up somehow, I always need to be reading. But the other thing that I do is I'm sort of an insomniac, but which is part of the reason why like staying in bed all day makes sense to me. You know, like if you don't sleep, you may as well just like be somewhere relaxing. But I keep a pen or a pencil and like a piece of paper next to my bed. So like in the middle of the night, in the dark, I'll just like scribble down something because, you know, and usually in the morning I can't read it, but every once in a while it's worthwhile. And it's not even, it literally might be just like a word or something, but like I do sort of take notes on scraps of paper, napkins, post-its, just, I'm always just like scribbling something down. This isn't good advice. This is just illustrating how crazy I am.
I think it's great advice. I think reading is great. I think scribbling things down is great. I think opening up a book and getting inspired just by a couple of sentences is awesome. I mean, why not? That's great. I think this is all great advice.
The other advice I have is like, I know like after years of doing this that like, my brain doesn't really work that well until like 3 p.m. Some people are morning people. I'm definitely not a morning person. So I don't make myself do anything that, I mean, I probably wouldn't keep anything that if I sat down at 9 o'clock in the morning and like made myself write, it wouldn't be good. So I do everything else beforehand. Like, and I think that's also like, I mean, I exercise and I do all the like chores that I need to do and I, you know, and read and all that stuff like in the first part of the day and then all of a sudden I'm like ready to go. And it has always been a shame for me that 3 o'clock in the afternoon was like when people would start coming back into the house, you know, so that's why I'm like, shh, I'm writing. And I can also work, you know, I can be working at 2 o'clock in the morning. I think ideally, like if I didn't have a family, I would work from probably 3 in the afternoon until 11 o'clock at night. But that doesn't really work when you have other people in the house. But I do, it's nice when you can just kind of give yourself the liberty of being like, you're not going to write for 8 hours. You're not going to it's not like a normal job. So you have to, I mean, what works best for me anyway is just being like, oh, okay. I have to I'm going to just literally just take a couple seconds to write this down, you know, scribble this down. And somehow I manage to piece it all together when I do have that time and then my brain is in the right place. And then I'll write 20 pages at a sitting, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is don't force it. Don't try to force something that isn't happening. Just go take a walk or go running or go read something if it's not, because you can't make yourself be creative.
Or wander around Cobble Hill looking for a home.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Cecily. Thanks so much for coming on my podcast. I know you're not a big podcast person, but you should listen to it because you're a big book lover and you might enjoy it.
I'm like, it's so funny. I'm just old fashioned. I'm just starting to discover podcasts. And so I'm excited. This is good. Somehow I thought podcasts were for the people who are wired, you know, they're... and they're not. They're for everyone.
Well,
I can do this too.
You can experiment with your own. Anyway, all right. Well, have a great day. And thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you, Zibby. It was really fun.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much to Faherty Brand for being my sponsor this week. FahertyBrand.com. Enter code Zibby for 25% off.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.